How do you have your tea? How's your tea made?
You're gonna hate me.
Oh no, I don't like.
Because I don't like tea.
You don't like tea?
No, I've just blasphemed against the British people. I don't like tea. It's like my whole family are like, what is wrong with you? You don't like tea?
I can't believe I think that's the end of the podcast. So thank you guys for
Yeah, exactly. This will not be airing. Sorry to say.
Hello, welcome to Carol Swearing. I'm your host, Jake Parker, and today's guest, what can I say? I'm an absolute big fan. I discovered her on TikTok about a year ago. I'm going to let her introduce herself, and we're going to carry on the interview portion.
Hi, I'm Sophie Griffiths. First of all, thank you so much for having me. I'm absolutely buzzing to jump on this podcast. I'm a singer-songwriter, artist, but a big part of my journey has been on social media, so I guess I'm a content creator too. TikTok was a big starter for me in this industry.
Amazing, perfect. The first question I have to ask is the same question I get from everybody, is did you go to university to study songwriting and singing, obviously, and if you didn't, kind of why?
I actually didn't go to uni, no. I did go to music college though, which was an amazing experience. I really found my people there and yeah, I loved every minute. So shout out to Access Creative College. That was great.
Amazing. So how hard was it to get onto TikTok? Obviously, I've been watching your content for a while. And of course, you do great songs of covers for the World Cup or the Euros. What kind of inspired that?
I think at first, you know, like everyone was jumping on TikTok in lockdown, weren't they? Because it was the best new thing. And I think from a perspective of an emerging artist, it was an amazing opportunity because you could literally land on anyone's phone, anyone's For You page. But yeah, I started off having fun with my sister because we were just trying to pass the time as everyone was making banana bread, sangria, all that sort of stuff. And then I sort of started having fun with music content. I have always, you know, it's just what I do. So I started off doing some covers, and that then followed on to me doing some rewrites of theme tunes. The first one that really did well for me was EastEnders theme tune, and it's actually so ridiculous, but I was like, please don't go live in this stuff, Betty, I don't want to know unless it's ready for my bed. Of all the things, that went viral, and so I sort of carried on from that, and then started doing popular rewrites of songs, and then obviously I started releasing my own music, so it sort of translated into, you know, my artistry and yeah. But it was, I think I literally just got into TikTok by having fun with it. It's such a fun app to be on as a consumer as well, so yeah.
I think that's the case with social media. It's just there for fun. You shouldn't take it too seriously. And by the sounds of it, you haven't. You've just done it to what you've brought your passion to, something that you've enjoyed. How do you deal with the negativity from social media? And we've all been there. We have those people that are like, oh, not very talented, or oh, that's not very good. How do you deal with that?
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, for me, the growth happened like relatively quickly as well. So you're almost like dumped into a world where you've got so many people's opinions coming at you all at once, which is interesting. Like I think you just learn your own coping strategies, because it's gonna happen, you know. You're putting yourself out on a platform with the potential to reach like millions of people if a video does well. And so I have like kind of a rule for myself that if a video gets a certain amount of reach or views, I just stop looking at it after a while, because you're always gonna get some negativity, even though the positivity obviously most of the time outweighs the negativity. You know, you're always going to be exposed to it. So yeah, I have some rules for myself, because you know, at the end of the day, we're all humans, so it's gonna affect you if you've got, I don't know, however many people saying that was rubbish or whatever they're saying. So yeah, I think it's just about having your own boundaries, which is like the most important thing that I've found, really. Yeah.
I get it. So who inspires your music? Obviously, people say the same with film and TV or author. They say they're inspired by a certain songwriter or a certain film. What inspired you?
Oh, that's a great question. I mean, I actually have a few inspirations. My family is quite musical, and so music has surrounded me from birth, pretty much. My mum's a pianist. My granddad was like one of those annoying people that could pick up any instrument and play it without any training. My dad also is just a really big music lover in general, so he really influenced my music taste. But I've always just loved to sing, but I suppose that comes from a passion in my household. So I suppose that's what started it. But when I was about 14, I actually had singing lessons with someone that came into my school. I was quite an anxious child, so like performing live was probably my worst nightmare, believe it or not. And yeah, I went in with the singing teacher and we bonded over a mutual love of Stevie Wonder. Yeah. And so yeah, I used to just go in and spend 30 minutes just jamming a Stevie Wonder song with him. And we got to a point where he was like, I'll put you forward for a school performance. And at the time I was like,
what was the school performance? What was it?
It was kind of like, I don't know if your school did it, but it was like a spring performance where they just got, I don't know, like 15 students and all the families came along and watched. And so it wasn't like, it's not as if I'm performing at Wembley, do you know what I mean? But still, for someone that's never performed before, it was a really nerve-wracking thing to be like thrown in the deep end. Anyway, I you know, was bricking it right up until the point of that show, did it. And I sort of caught the bug for it. I caught the love bug for performing. I never stopped after that, really. And then, you know, I started performing at open mics or anywhere that would have me, really. And yeah. So I suppose the three main ones are probably my mum, granddad, singing teacher.
I remember when I was in school, they made me do Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat. I wasn't Joseph. They made me be the Pharaoh. And I'm going to tell you the truth. I can't sing. I'm quite tone deaf. I can't carry a tune. People do ask me to sing. And I'm like, I'm not going to do that because I can't sing. So you can imagine a very young 16-year-old standing on the stage trying to do an Elvis impression. It didn't go down quite well. I'm being honest with you. So with your music, obviously you said you write your own songs now. Can you explain how that process works?
Again, a really good question, but one that is like really hard to define because I obviously have my own process, but when you're writing with other people, you sort of have to take into consideration their process as well. But I've sort of found my people that I love working with now. So we've built a quite strong rapport, but I generally go in with like a concept, so an idea of what I want the song to be about, first of all, because I think, you know, that's always a good starting point, so we're all on the same page in the room. And then I think it's just important to like get to know each other and like, you know, speak about life in general. Like we generally do that for like the first hour or two, just like have a chat, get comfortable, because at the end of the day, songwriting session is kind of like a therapy session in a way. Like you have to really trust the people that you're opening up to. And first of all, you know, I come in with an idea of what, you know, where I want to go in the studio session, because it has to be authentic. Number two, we sort of like have a chat, get comfy in the room, get the vibe in the right place. And then I guess we kind of just see where it goes. Like I'm someone that really likes to sort of chords, then melody, and you know, sometimes the lyrics come after that. But again, it can be different depending on the day or depending on the writers that you're with as well. So yeah.
What's been the most popular song on TikTok that you've done or you've written yourself? What has it been?
So rewrite-wise, which is how a lot of people find me, I rewrote the song Islands in the Stream. I don't know if you know that. Well, I mean, who does it? If you don't know the song, you're living under a rock, let's be real. So yeah, I did that. But if it was written about dating, now. Yes. So that went down really well. I think I got about like 7.2 mil... views in the end, which was absolutely ridiculous. But then in terms of my own song, I sort of took inspiration from that, really, and I wrote a song called Modern Love, which again is about dating and dating now, which is obviously terrible because lots of people have enjoyed that song and agree. So the streets are treacherous, what can you do?
Are you gonna show us a little sample now? Are you gonna sing for us? Are you gonna show us a little bit?
Oh gosh, okay. Put me on the spot. Okay, let me do the first couple of lines. Alright, so guys. So many dead conversations with strangers online. What's your age, occupation, what car do you drive? Lord, I've not got the patience for slow replies. Why the hell did I swipe right?
That was amazing. I think I can speak for everyone to say that was absolutely incredible. Thank you so much for doing that. Right on the spot as well. Some people, I have asked another singer to do it on the spot, and they did get a bit, I don't know what to do. And they got the little guitar out and they built themselves up to it, which amazing. Congratulations for that. If I give you an opportunity now to play at any venue in the world, what venue would you want to play at?
Oh. I mean, I feel like a real moonshot is like Madison Square Gardens. Like, I feel like everyone at the top of their game has played there, and it looks like such a sick venue. I've never actually been. My mum's been. So that's a bucket list venue for me to go and watch someone there. But it would be like amazing to perform. Like, literally, yeah, ridiculous. So yeah, one day.
Backup question for you, because I knew there was going to be a good answer. This is my number one. Who would you want to open up for?
Oh, so many people. Do they have to be like what, like doing music now? Could they be?
Could be anyone in history.
Okay.
Anyone.
Well, it's got to be Stevie, my guy Stevie Wonder, because you know he was the reason pretty much I'm sat here doing what I'm doing. So Stevie, I'd also love to open for Adele, could you imagine? Or Ed Sheeran. Oh my gosh, you've started me off now, I'll stop, but there's three.
Do they inspire that kind of music for you as well? Ed Sheeran and Stevie Wonder, is that kind of where you kind of get your, you know, your fire, your inspiration?
Yeah, I suppose so. Yeah, I mean, I've been to watch all three of those artists live and they're all incredible. And I just think, like, from a songwriting perspective as well, they're all super talented, and obviously that's a big part of what I do. I love writing music. It's one of my favourite parts of this job. So, yeah.
So if you could meet Ed Sheeran or Stevie Wonder now, what would you tell them?
Oh, my God. I don't know if I'd be able to speak. I'd be too stunned to speak. I don't know what I'd say.
Probably just crumble. I don't know. Probably just thank you for being you.
Amazing.
Yeah, literally. I think they both seem like genuinely really lovely human beings as well. So I imagine, yeah. So I don't know. I think, yeah, but I think genuinely I'd be too stunned to speak. But if I could get some words out, I'd be like,
Now, I was watching your TikTok recently and I saw that you were playing at a festival in Leeds. What was that feeling like? Was that quite terrifying? Tell us about that experience.
Yeah, it was in Yorkshire the other day, and I it was amazing. I mean, I love, like, live is, again, one of my favourite parts of this. So, like, getting to do that is such a privilege. When people listen as well is another thing, because when you're a smaller artist, you know, people generally don't know who you are, to be honest. So, like, you know, forming a crowd, you're always like, I always worry that no one's going to come. It's one thing that I worry about. So to have, you know, first of all, the slot, and then also an audience watching you is pretty amazing. So anything on top of that is a bonus for me. And just going out and enjoying it, because, you know, there's a lot of, like, nerves and anticipation that build up to anything like that. So when I get up there, I just like to breathe and, like, enjoy it, you know?
Do you have any, like, rituals before you go on a stage or on a set? Do you do the Sharpay from High School Musical and go, boo, boo? Or are you more traditional and you kind of, like, pray or wish upon a star? What is your technique, your ritual?
So, I mean, if I did the I think that would be iconic. Might add that to it, to be honest. No, to be honest, I don't have, like, I guess I just, like, warm up is one of them. I also like to keep my mind busy before I go on. So I always bring a pack of cards for me and my band to play with. We're all connoisseurs now.
What kind of game do you play? What kind of game do you play for the cards? Are you playing Uno? Are you playing Blackjack? What are you playing?
Oh, I love Uno, but we don't bring Uno cards. We just bring traditional playing cards. And we love playing Rummy. There's one called Shithead.
Nice.
I'm allowed to swear.
You're allowed to swear. There's not been no swears yet.
Yeah, I usually say poo head. yes, we play that. What else do we play? Cheat. That's a good game. But yeah, that's something that I always try and do, and then just take a moment to myself, because as I say, I get super nervous, and it's something that I really have to like manage. So I often do like quite a bit of breathing before, like right before I go on. But yeah, warm up, cards, breathing are my main things. I know some people do like full on work, like workouts before they go on, which is insane. I don't think I'd be able to do a show after it. I'd be sweating too much.
If a young songwriter or singer came up to you today, what would your advice would you give them? How would you, like, if they said, how would you get on TikTok? How would you get that kind of, you know, viral kind of video? What advice would you give?
I'd say don't try and go viral. I'd say enjoy what you do, own your craft, and have fun with it, because I think that's when the best content comes out. Yeah, and I'd just say, like, take every opportunity, make opportunities for yourself as well. Like, put yourself out there, because always got to be out in the right place for the right opportunity to come by, and then that'll be your moment. So like, be patient with it, but just ultimately enjoy what you do, because I think if you enjoy what you do, that comes across and that's what people connect with.
Second question to that, what would you tell your younger self now that you've learned?
I think trust the process. I'm can be quite an anxious person in general, and you can get swept up in a lot of the craziness and the stuff that's completely out of your control in this industry. So I think, like, reminding myself to stay present, enjoy what I'm doing, because that's what I really, I'm at a place now where, like, I'm just loving everything that I'm doing. Whereas when I started off, I think it was all, like, very new to me. And, you know, whenever anything's new, you kind of are always a bit apprehensive. You're like, oh my gosh, am I doing the right thing? I don't know. But there is no right way in this industry, and a lot of creative industries. You kind of have to make your own path. So just trust the process. Everything will be okay in the end, I think.
Amazing. I love that. What kind of challenges have you faced during this time that you've started TikTok and learning the passion that you love for, or that you've learned? What kind of challenges have you had?
I mean, so many, but I think the main thing is, again, like, there not being a clear path in this industry. Like, no, although my family love music and are musicians, it was never something that they did as a career per se. And so I think just not knowing where to start. I think sometimes, like, at the beginning, I was a little bit like, oh my gosh, how do you even get into this? Like, I didn't even know that it was a thing, that you could do this as a job. So I think the main challenge has been, you know, where to start. A lot of this industry can seem like a bit of a black hole and like kind of like a mystery, you know, because it is quite a closed circuit. Unfortunately, there is some boy club elements to it, like any industry, that's life. But I think the main challenge is, like, what do I do? How do I even start? Which is why I think this podcast is, like, such a sick idea, because I would have loved something like this when I'd started out.
Thank you. Yes, the idea of the podcast, obviously, is to inspire the next generation of creatives to get in, and obviously we've all had our challenges to get in, but I didn't want to just focus on film and TV. I want to focus on all aspects. Someone might not want to get in film and TV. They might want to become a songwriter, a singer. And obviously, I want to try and adapt and learn from everyone. And also, I don't know nothing about singing. I haven't got a clue. I haven't got a clue how to do TikTok. I don't know how to do YouTube. I don't know how to do any of that. So I'm also learning from other people as well. So which is a great opportunity to do as well, during the podcast. Now, yeah. I'm seeing your room, and I'm seeing a lot of guitars. What is this about?
It's actually quite ironic, because guitar is my least strong instrument, so that's also it's all over the place. I mean, so as I say, like, my family's musical, so I've sort of collected all of the instruments. So, like, that was my granddad's keyboard, it's my mum's guitar, that was my dad's old ukulele, they're my ukuleles. Me and my dad both collect vinyls, that's our little corner. I mean, this one is my guitar, and then off camera there's also another guitar, so I think it's just a mismatch of everyone's belongings that I have slowly magpied.
I can count 1, 2, 3, 4, about 6 or 7 I can see at least in the room, Is that also board games? Are you a big board game collector as well? Is that what
I'm saying? Yeah, we are. We're a big board game family, I can't lie. We love a games night, but obviously they come out mostly at Christmas. And that's where it gets all heated. Very British family.
Do you have musical games? There used to be a game called Seen It back in the day where it was like a DVD and you used to put it on and you had to guess the music from the different centuries and decades. Do you have musical games for Christmas?
No way, I've literally never heard of that. We have some musical games, but they're, I'm not going to lie, most of them are mainly like your traditional board games like Counterpieces and You Move. But I need to, I'll chat to you after, I need to hear more about this music game. Sounds good, we need to jump on that.
a weird one actually. Now normally when I talk to a guest there's progression in the job they're doing. For example, I'm working in film and TV, I'm a prop man to a location assistant to even an AD. So there's progression and I can go higher and higher and higher in that business. For you, it's very, very different. How does progression work now?
Yeah, I mean, progression industry-wise versus like music-wise, I'd say like two different things, which I'm sure you can relate to as well. Like in terms of you feeling like, man, I'm getting better at this versus like, you know, actual accolades. So progression for me is like constantly feeling like I'm moving forward and progressing as an artist and like my sound is evolving and improving. For me, like that's the most important thing because that's why I started this, is because I love writing music. So if like my music is constantly getting better, for me that feels like progression. But in terms of like industry stuff, I think we've all got like moonshots and goals that we'd love to meet. So, I mean, like last year was a real door opener for me because I was played on Radio 1 and like Spotify. And Spotify was super supportive. And I think, and you know, my music was played on Love Island. So like all of those accolades feel, you know, I'm so grateful for all of them as well. You know, playing my first headline shows as well as also another progression. So I think you take the wins, don't you, as and when they come. And because, you know, the reason that I do this is because I love music. So anything else on top is a cherry on top of the icing, if you will. And yeah.
Very cool transition, by the way, to your songs being on the radio, to Love Island. That's a huge achievement. Now, how I see achievement is obviously at the end of a shoot, I get a crew jacket. I'll have a Doctor Who crew jacket from Doctor Who. I'll have a Witcher bag. But for you, an achievement like that, being on the radio, how does that feel? Even on Love Island, that's amazing.
Yeah, I know. It's insane. Like, it's literally... it's really hard to describe, actually, because it's more of, like, a feeling, you know? Obviously, there's a documented, like, moment of it if it's on TV or on the radio and stuff like that, but the way it feels is just surreal because, especially, like, Love Island's just happened for me where a couple of my songs was on the show this year and, you know, the feeling of, like, you watching it alongside, I don't know, millions of other people is something that you just can't get your head around, if you know what I mean. Especially because I'm a massive fan of the show as well, so I suppose the feeling is surreal is the only way I can describe it. But yeah, you're right, like I think music isn't a tangible thing, so you're right, like you might get, I don't know, you might be able to take a cheeky prop away from set or whatever, but yeah, music isn't a tangible thing, so I feel like it is more of a feeling that you have, and just feel proud, I think, you know. If 16-year-old Sophie saw what I was doing, she'd be chuffed, so.
With Love Island, did they have to ask permission to use your song, or was it a shock? Were you sat down watching it with your mum and go, Mum, my song's on TV! How does that go?
Yeah. Well, there have been moments where it has been a shock, like there's some that I didn't know that was happening, but you put your music forward for it.
Oh, I see.
And then you just
cross your fingers, because obviously, like, you can put your music forward, but might not fit in the show that year, or it might not be the right moment, if you know what I mean. Sometimes they'll tell you as well before it happens. But again, I've had situations where I'm sat on the sofa genuinely, like, just chilling with my family and it's come on. And, like, another one of that was I'm a Celeb. Like, one of my songs was on I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. And it was on the, like, Letters from Home. And again, that is, like, one of the only shows that our whole family watch together, I think we all have such different TV tastes, but it's the one show that we all watch together, and we were all watching it, and we were like, I was like, I recognise
that. Hold on a second, that sounds very familiar.
I was like, that sounds familiar, actually. So been a mixture.
And how does the radio work? For example, I went for a radio, how I started all this is I went to have a interview at the, went on to the radio itself and explained what the podcast was all about. And that's why loads of people started wanting to come on. But did you actually go on and have a chat, or was your song just played? Did you submit it? How does that one work?
With Radio 1, I'd love to go on for an interview one day. They'll have me. But you put your music forward and you cross your fingers. Sometimes it happens, sometimes it don't. So yeah, similar setup. But I have been very lucky to have some really cool interviews with the BBC. I think BBC Introducing is a great platform for grassroots artists. They literally support you they supported me from like my first demo. And you know, they've supported the journey right from the beginning and have been a huge support and have had me on the show for interviews as well. Very, very cool.
A lot of music comes from musicals, obviously. Are you a big musical fan?
Yeah, I love musicals. We love musicals in my house. My sister's super super into them, and she's always like on the new releases and like what's up next. So we're always at a musical. We love them.
So yeah, my question is this: what if I can offer you a part for a musical? What play would it be, and what performance would it be?
Oh my gosh. Well, first of all, I can't really act, so I don't think I'd get the part. I'm also quite a terrible dancer as well, so I feel like if I just sung for someone on the stage, maybe that would work. I don't know. That's a really hard question. I love the musical Six because that has like... It's like a tongue-in-cheek pop element to it as well. So maybe I'd scrape by there. I don't know. Love to play a role in that. I just think what they've done with that show is really cool.
Which wife would you be?
Oh, you're testing me now. Do I even know my
Henrietta? Oh, no, I've embarrassed you on the pod. Let's change the conversation, quick.
Who's... Oh, I don't know.
I'm not going to answer because I don't know. I can't even remember. You're taking me back to year 8 history. My memory doesn't go back
that far. Well, let's get past the interview bit now. Let's get into the fun bit now. Obviously, before we both come on, I explained to you this was a swearing podcast. We've now got to that part where we're going to have to swear, I'm afraid. So in my industry, in the film and TV part of it anyway, there's a lot of swearing on set. You would hear it left, right and centre. Is there a time where you've heard a swear word that you weren't expecting on set or on stage in a song that you're like, ooh, hold up a second, I wasn't expecting that from that person?
Oh God, I don't actually think so. Maybe everyone's just really professional. I don't know. I don't think so, no. Honestly, I can't think of any that have come up.
That's fine, because I have a second question for you. What is your favourite swear word? Now, mine changes every podcast. Mine is fuck. I use it quite a bit, and then it was bastard, and then gone back to fuck again. What is your favourite swear word?
I feel like the word bollocks is like really satisfying to say. I feel like it's a very cockney one. I feel like it's one that my parents have said growing up. So yeah, I think I'm going to go for, oh, bollocks.
It's good, isn't it? That's a good one. You can use it in many
different
ways.
Has to be with the O before, though.
I like it. A question I told a couple of students that you were coming on the podcast, and they got very excited. And they would like to know how long it takes to develop a song.
I feel like all my answers are so wafty because, like, but there is no, like, specific answer. I think that it really depends, again, on the day of the session as well, because I've had sessions where like we've had a bit of a dry morning where we're like, oh my gosh, I don't, like, nothing's flowing, nothing's coming out, and then after lunch we'll literally write a song within 2 hours. But there's always, like, for me as well, which I quite enjoy, there's always like a little bit of a break between when you write a song and then when you like fully record it for release.
Mm-hmm.
And I always find that super helpful because you can come back with fresh ears a lot of the time, and I can imagine this is the same with you on set, but like, you're, if you're doing something like repetitively for I don't know how many hours, like 10 to 12 hours.
Yeah.
You know, that you can like sort of become a little bit numb or like less subjective to like what the song needs. And so I always find it really helpful to go away. And so if we're talking span of songs, like sometimes it can take up to a year to like completely finish off the production. But I always like to keep the writing within like a day, because I think if you're in the flow and like you're feeling what you're feeling, it's really good to get it out. So yeah, I always say within a day in terms of writing, but sometimes that can like cross over a couple of days. But yeah, in terms of like actually finishing a produced song can take it can take a year in between, and you know, it's a different situation for every song. Hope that's somewhat helpful for new writers. I don't know.
Good, it's good. Now obviously we've talked about your TikTok and about you doing covers and making up your own lyrics. Where does those lyrics come from? Do you just sit there one day and go, right, this is what this song would sound like if it was in the UK? Where does that come from?
Well, I think I don't know, I'm just a very British person. And so, like, the British ones I genuinely just really enjoy doing, because I think as a nation, we're very eccentric in some of the things that we do. So, I mean, I find them ones really fun. I like to keep them to stuff that, you know, I've experienced. Sometimes I think of them on nights out, because I literally just take inspiration from other people. But I have this question really often, and I think I just listen out for songs that I love that I just think have like really strong potential for like the lyrics to change. Or I also take old school songs and I make them modern. And yes. So I'm always looking for like classic songs, which, you know, again, like have to give kudos to my dad, because he played me like such an eclectic range of music growing up that, you know, I love like old school songs, and I think it's fun to like to make them of the now, you know.
Yeah.
You make them modern and relevant, the lyrics anyway.
I have a question for you then. If you were born in a decade of music, what decade would that be? Now I love Elvis and I love the Beatles, so I would definitely be 60s, 70s, maybe 80s, but what decade would you want to be born in?
Oh, I'd love to be born in the 60s, yeah, for music. I think that, like, the fashion as well as the music.
Yeah.
I just love the beehives, like, I love the flicks. I love, you know, that was the era of, like, a mini dress, a mini skirt with the flicks of eyeliner. So, and I love, like, the Motown era of music. And obviously that started in the 60s. And as you could tell, I love vinyl too, which was... Obviously, that was the only form, like, if you wanted to listen to music, that's how you listen to music then. I think I love everything about that era of music, and the way that they recorded it as well is, you know, super organic. They literally didn't have the technology that we have now, so it was a matter of setting up mics in a studio room and the band playing all together, and the sound was the sound. But I also think like the impurities in some of the sound is what makes the record so special. I'd love to eventually like record in that setup one day too, because I think the music geek in me would find that really fun.
Now in the UK, obviously we have very famous recording studios all scattered all over the UK. Which one would you want to be recording in?
Ooh. I mean, obviously, like, the most famous one is Abbey Road, right? I think for me, what I'd look for is, like, a big live recording room so that I could have, like, a load of, like, cool musicians and us record and, like, jam in a room together. So whichever one's got the biggest recording space, like, for a live room, I would love that, yeah.
All right, so let me just change it again to what is your favourite biscuit? Because obviously... Tea and biscuit go quite well, and coffee and biscuits kind of work. What is your favourite biscuit then?
Oh, I love this question. I've always remained a hobnob girly.
Yeah, okay.
With chocolate on the top. I just don't think you cannot beat a hobnob, personally. But I'd also love a bourbon.
Oh, bourbons, yes, I completely agree with you.
But do you know what I just love? Because I've never drunk tea, but my family, like, particularly my nans, they would drink, I don't even know how many cups of tea a day. Like, it was actually illegal. And I would always, when I was younger, I just remember, like, being like, can I dip my biscuit in your tea? And I just, I like, the thing is, like, when you dip the hobnob, the whole top melts. Oh, yeah, yeah. Heaven.
I'm more of a jammy dodger kind of guy. I love jammy dodgers.
Oh, shout. I loved jammy dodgers when I was younger.
Oh, they are the best biscuit going. So when you first saw your first video go viral, how did that make you feel? And because obviously when you post a video up, you have to follow the TikTok algorithm like you do with every Instagram and YouTube. When you when this EastEnders do went mad, how did that make you feel? Or what was that excitement like?
It's really hard to explain. Obviously, it's exciting to see that people are connecting with what you're doing. But again, it's like you're seeing a number go up. So, like, if you had, like, a million people come up to you and say that they loved what you were doing, that would be, like, you know, like, you know, you're doing it face-to-face, and I think... But, like, yeah, it felt great. I mean, it was the first video that I'd ever had, and, like, that experience as well. I think it was overwhelming, probably, is the main feeling I was having. But I was like, oh, my gosh. And this was really fun for me to make as well. So if I can do more of this, I'm going to do it. And it all sort of stemmed from there, if you will.
So what's nice about this podcast is, obviously, like I mentioned, we get to talk to many different people. And it's nice because every single part of the creative industry kind of connects together. Obviously, you can't have film without music. You can't have writers without film. So my question is this. If I was to direct one of the biggest films in the world, what you can choose, what film it is, what film would you want your music to be connected to?
Well, I feel like with, you know, the tone of my music and what a lot of it's about, I think it has to be a rom-com.
Yeah.
It has to be in a rom-com, like the end of a rom-com where, you know, everything comes to a happy ending. And it's just, I think that would be a dream. I mean, I love watching rom-coms anyway, like all of the 90s, 2000 ones. If I've got nothing to do on a Sunday, I stick one on and I get a tub of Ben and Jerry's.
Oh.
And like everything is good in the world. So if one of my songs was on a big rom-com, I think my life would be made.
What's your favourite rom-com? I have to say mine is, it's a weird one because it's a Christmas, but mine's Love Actually. I love Love Actually.
Very good film. That's one of our favourite Christmas films in this house. But I think my favourite rom-com is About Time.
Oh.
Yeah, you watched that one.
Amazing, I love it. And the Ben and Jerry's, what would you have? What Ben and Jerry's would you have?
Ooh, listen, you're coming at me with the best
questions. I am, that's what I'm here for.
probably fish food. Because I love, honestly, do you know what's underrated about Ben and Jerry's?
Go on.
The chocolate. Yes. The chocolate in it is absolutely 10/10. We went on a family holiday in America, and I think it's Vermont where the Ben and Jerry's factory is. And we went and I got to taste so much ice cream that day. And it was probably one of the best days of my life. But yeah, I'm a big sucker for a fish food or something with caramel in it.
I tried Netflix and chill. I wasn't a big fan. So I think fish food is definitely the one I would go for the most. I think it's classic.
It is, isn't it? And you can't beat classic sometimes. You have to run with it. So yeah.
Because of your music and because you are already doing videos with your music, have you attempted a music video? Do you have a music video out for one of your songs? And what's that feeling like? Do you enjoy doing that? Because you got to act in the music video.
So, music videos, I feel like, if you don't do them high-tech and with a lot of moolah behind them, sometimes they don't land as well, just because, you know, people don't realise, obviously you will for sure, because I don't know whether that links up with what you do, but music videos require a very high budget, mm-hmm, if you will. So I made homemade videos, which I love doing, because I think, you know, that allowed a different side of my creativity to come out. And what if I did have, you know, like a whole 50-person crew on my music video, what would I like to do? But I've never done, you know, like a proper high-tech one. And I don't know, though, because photos, believe it or not, aren't my favourite thing to do. Just because, you know, I feel awkward, first of all. And I've had to really, like, you know, loosen myself up. I find that actually playing music while I'm taking the photos helps, but I'm not sure it would be like my favourite thing in the world, But I think if I had other people there hyping me up, it might be bearable. But I'm not very natural behind the camera. I know people are like, what, you do like TikToks and stuff, but it's different, isn't it? Like, if your face on apart from like with a big camera in your face, it's quite daunting.
Well, that leads to my next question, actually, because I've seen some of your TikToks where you're in public and you're obviously lips, yeah, I've seen it. I told you, I do my research before my guests come on.
Yes.
And I've seen you, obviously, you know, you're there singing in the park or you're in the middle of, you know, a town centre. How does that make you feel? Because people are watching you. Obviously, you got a camera in front of you. You got to remember your lyrics. You got probably a headphone in, yeah, listen to the song. What is that like?
Do you know what? Younger me would have probably crumbled and passed away in the street right then and there. But I think I've like built a bit of a thicker skin to like. Yeah, I think you just have to lose all of your inhibitions that day and just go, do you know what? Stick for the plot. Do you know what I mean? And just, yeah, literally, but it is a little bit like, oh god, these people, because bearing in mind as well, I've got the music in my ears, so like it literally looks like I'm singing to myself or talking to myself, and like that is, you know, I dread to think what these people are thinking, but yeah, it's not terrible.
Obviously Christmas is well known for its music, and what is it like having a musical family behind you? Is it like every Christmas day you're singing out the old Mariah Carey? You know, there's, you got people on the piano, on the keyboard. What's that like?
We love Christmas in my house. So, like, my mum goes so OTT on the decor. Like, it's actually ridiculous. But, yeah, you know, the Christmas playlist is on from at least mid-November. The vibes are in full swing.
I agree.
Yeah, I mean, a Christmas song. I mean, who doesn't love a Christmas song? It's like the best time for like content for me, because I just feel like you can have like the ultimate amount of fun with what you're doing. So yeah, big fans.
One of my last questions for you. If you were in a deserted island and you can only have one record, what would it be?
Stevie Wonder, Songs in the Key of Life.
Oh.
That record has so many bangers in it. Like, for real.
Why don't we finish off the podcast by you telling everybody where they can find you and what you're up to next? If you've got any more festivals coming up, how can people find you on TikTok and Instagram and YouTube?
Yeah, of course. So I'm on all social media. I'm at Sophie Griffith Singer on Instagram and Facebook, at Sophie G Singer on TikTok. And my music is on all streaming platforms, so Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon, whatever tickles your pickle. And I'm Sophie Griffiths on there. I'm playing some festivals this summer. I'm playing at Campbell Calling Festival on the 25th of August. It's in Warwickshire, so if anyone's up there, please feel free to come down and say hello. And then I also have some London shows booked in, but I can't announce them just yet. So keep an eye on my page and hopefully I'll see you at a show soon.
Very exciting, very exciting. For how I like to end every podcast is that we're going to, at the top of three, we're going to say our favourite swear word, and that's how we're going to end this lovely adventure that we've been taking together. Okay, so ready?
Love it.
3, 2, 1, fuck.
Bollocks!
Fantastic. It's been an absolute pleasure having you on today. I look forward to seeing more of your TikToks and more of your music. And again, maybe in about a year's time, we'll have you on as a reunion and see where we're at then.
Oh, thank you so much. I'd love that.
Thank you so much again. How deep is the water? I know better than this. I'm still learning to love her. I'm so new to it. I'm beautiful, the beautiful skin I'm in. Starting to say I wouldn't change anything. I'm still gonna fall. Skin I'm in.